Hello and welcome back to another episode of Vikings Happy Hour, sponsored by Lake Monster Brewing, Eastside Jiu-Jitsu, and That's Badass Wood Art. Remember to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, because ladies and gentlemen, as the time that this episode airs, football is back for your Minnesota Vikings. And we have Alec Lewis of The Athletic here to join us tonight. Alec, how are you? It's been a little bit since we've seen you.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you guys for having me. I got two things from the jump. First, thanks, Miles, for showing up. Really appreciate that. Second, I'm really glad to give a ton of takes here and then have them all be proved wrong and make myself look really dumb by the time of the game tonight or after the game. So, no, serious note, thanks for having me back. Camp's been fun. A lot of sunscreen being put on given the heat out there, but I have – enjoyed it, and I will enjoy the heat knowing that there is a little bit of cold front coming for the next 9,000 months here.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd mention anything about weather, just because, yeah. I mean, you're dwindling down. Yeah.
Last time we got together with you, you were complaining it is too cold, and now you're complaining it's too hot. We just can't keep Alec happy up here.
Yeah, yeah. This is my brand to complain about the weather. I know it's such an attractive quality for a person to have. So, I'm enjoying the summer.
This time last year, you weren't with the team yet, right? You joined right at the regular season.
That's correct. So I didn't even do training camp last year. So I hadn't done a night practice until Tuesday night. So it's okay. This is all new, and it has been. I told somebody like last year, I was for a month knowing that I was going to move up here. I was just reading and watching and listening to everything, trying to like learn about a whole team from afar. I know fans do it and it's helpful, and those who were informing me do a great job. But it is much easier and better to kind of see the buildup in person and experience kind of the roster machinations on a daily basis. So I've enjoyed that, and I think it'll probably help coverage throughout the season, or at least that's what I tell myself to make myself feel better.
What's a day in the life of Alec Lewis during training camp?
It is not that it's not that sexy. I wake up. I've been waking up early in the morning to work out. This is not my brand, but I realized early in training camp that if I try to work out after the practice at like 7 p.m., there was just I just don't have the juice.
Just go to bed.
So I'll wake up at like 8 or 9 and then work out, and then
wait. 8 or 9's early, huh?
Yeah, for me, 100%.
He's a night owl, though.
Yeah, but listen to this. So I'll work out, then I'll grab coffee, and then I'm right into it. I mean, I'm calling people, I'm texting people, I'm out at the facility, interviews, practice, and then I'm usually riding after till about, let's say, 7:30. So let's not. I mean, this is a full out grind here as a sports writer. You are really pouring it in.
Portable charger? Does your phone die often?
It's a good question. I have had a couple very close calls, like a few weeks. Last week I interviewed Mike Saravo, the linebackers coach. Yeah. And I was on like 6%. And I told Lindsey Young at Vikings.com, I was like, Lindsey, this could be a tough one. Hopefully, I get this interview. I kind of need it. My editor wants it for the Brian Asamoah story. So yeah, but no, the days are fun. It's fun to see the fans out there. And like people are very interested, obviously, as you guys know. And I love it. Like I love the fact that people care as much as they do, because A, it keeps me employed, first of all, but B, it also it's just fun. And like it's fun to communicate and go back and forth with fans.
How does
I enjoy it?
How does this compare to spring training? And then we can get into Viking stuff, but you've obviously covered spring training before. How does this compare?
Yeah, it would be probably different of an answer if the Vikings were still in Mankato, where you're like away from where you live and everyone's kind of all together. Like spring training with the Royals, you're in Arizona, which is obviously very far from Kansas City in the winter. everybody's kind of around the same area in Surprise, Scottsdale, what have you. So you would go out with people, you would see people, you'd be bouncing around. Whereas this training camp, it's mostly like everyone's at a facility and you leave, just like a regular practice day during the season. Yeah. But from a like fan experience, I mean, it's pretty similar. Like the drills are very relaxed. The vibe is relaxed. You can talk to executives, you can talk to coaches. You can get people in a setting where their guard is a little more down than it would be during the season. And I think for me, like trying to still just integrate myself into covering this team, it's important to have this time to be able to get in front of people that either I was able to a little bit last year or people I weren't even able to meet. So I've, that part of it has been, it's been cool. And it's been part of my approach this year.
Very cool.
Awesome. Well, you gave us a perfect segue earlier, and then we just kind of skipped right over it. So I'm
going to
backtrack. You're good. Alec, you talked about the night practice. Obviously, those are kind of the bigger deal practices that we have here at Vikings Training Camp. Fans get all excited, got the lights on, all of that. So can you kind of walk us through just some of the key observations that you saw from Tuesday night's night practice?
Yeah, I'll say this. It wasn't the most action-packed practice in terms of like, I mean, I there were a couple plays that stood out. Like, I think Jaren Hall fired a ball to the sideline. N'Keal Harry dove and caught it. That was a pretty impressive catch. I think I was actually pretty impressed by the run game. It looked like they, for whatever, I was trying to get a good look at the blocking schemes to give you some real in-depth football on some of the concepts, but Ty Chandler broke through a couple times. That was interesting to see. Defensively, Ivan Pace got some snaps with the ones, which has kind of become more of a theme. But overall, like I wouldn't say it was the most kind of informative practice from a like on-field perspective. I mean, by now I've gotten pretty used to the fact that Brian Flores is going to mix and match and send guys like he is playing Madden and Gage 8. And I say that jokingly because there is a very clear strategy behind what he's trying to do. But I think that has become a theme. I think Jordan Addison looking smooth, like that's kind of what I've come to expect. I think Kirk Cousins, he seems like he's really enjoying this and like is having a fun time out there, which may or may not have been a theme in years past, but that's something that has stood out to me. And then like, I think the one thing that is just a minor detail that I've noted, and it probably will lead to a story down the road for me, but like, Kevin O'Connell's level of detail with the wide receivers in terms of how he is working with them, the kind of minutia that they're working with on a daily basis. Like I think I'm fascinated to know really more of like what that is, because I think it will shed light on the intricacies of this offense. But I think it speaks to like, we talk about Kevin O'Connell and culture and all that stuff, but I think from an offensive, like, architecture, to use JT O'Sullivan's word, and from like a detail perspective, what Kevin O'Connell is doing and has done, I think is probably something that we don't talk enough about in terms of what will probably allow this offense to take another step in year two.
Interesting. That I love to hear that just from being a fan.
No problem. Just trying to hype you guys. No, but in a like legitimately. Like, you will see Kevin O'Connell stand. Let's say they're running a red zone rep, okay? So, like, they're in the offense is in the red zone.
Yeah.
And you got four wide receivers. And you will see Kevin O'Connell stand in front of a wide receiver. They'll run their route. And then he will stop them and I mean, hold their shoulder or like, get on an edge to show them they need to be bursting their route in a different angle. So, like, it is, like, extreme minutia. Which isn't surprising if you hear these guys talk about the level of detail that it takes to be a wide receiver in this system. It's an observation I've had, and I haven't really unveiled it until just now. So I'm curious to learn more about it and talk to the guys more about it.
It is interesting that you bring that up though, because I do remember seeing a clip recently, obviously it was within the last couple of weeks, but it was Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell on the sideline. And I was like, is Kevin O'Connell really giving Justin Jefferson advice right now? But I mean, obviously there's intention behind what he's trying to do.
And that's, again, that's part of what's fascinating to me about it is you would think like Kevin O'Connell's a quarterback's guy. What does he know? But like, again, this is his offense that he has designed obviously with alongside the coaching staff. And I don't think the casual fan realizes that like everything is tied together. The yards that a receiver is supposed to take on their route is tied up to Kirk's drop. the angles that they're taking as a receiver affect other guys' angles. So there is a level of detail with this where they're trying to maximize the amount of space on the field that as people listening to this, they're probably like, this guy's insane. But I legitimately think there is that much level of attention and intention paid to this stuff. And that I think it has to at this level for teams to have success.
Yeah. Ryan, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry. We were talking about the receivers last night, actually, on our show. And we were talking about the depth, obviously. So we have the three, you know, standouts there with KJ, Addison, and JJ. The depth behind them, how is that kind of unfolding for you and what you're seeing at these practices and training camp?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was really looking forward to watching Jalen Naylor the first day of practice. Yeah. I thought he was one of the most impressed players on the field. I think
have we heard anything on him?
At the moment, I know it was a leg injury. He's walked around with this little pad on his lower leg. Okay. But he's walking around. I will say they have been rehabbing some guys on the side, the Tristan Jacksons, the Lucky Jacksons. And Jalen Naylor has not been going full speed with those guys. So I think it has been a slower ramp up. Okay. Back to Ryan's question, I think a little bit of Brandon Powell. Like, I think he's had a really, really good camp. He's a shorter guy in stature, but the word that I can use just to watch him is just reliable. Like, it seems like he is reliable in terms of he's at the right places at the right times. He's reliable at the catch point. And he's, I think, going to be reliable as a punt returner. So I think he's a guy you'll probably see tonight when they play the Seahawks. And then outside of him, and I mentioned Tristan Jackson, he's had a heck of a camp. The injury will probably set him back a little bit, but I thought he had the potential to impress a little bit. And then there are other names, the Jalen Ragers, the Thayer Thomases. I mean, there are other guys, but I think if Jalen Naylor had remained healthy and continued to do what it looked like he was going to be able to do, and then you add Brandon Powell to the mix, so you start talking about a room that is probably start to rank up there in terms of the NFL wide receiving corps. So I think once I evaluate and hear more on Jalen Naylor's health, you'll probably have a better idea. But I think having Brandon Powell and adding him is something that will help this team at some point.
It's just a little disappointing that we haven't heard, like I haven't heard anything on Jalen Rager yet. Like I'm hearing actually a lot about Thayer Thomas, like that he is just getting open at like on demand, but I just haven't heard anything on Rager. I mean, is he just a guy right now?
He will play a lot against the Seahawks. You'll see him a lot. And so I think that it'll be an opportunity for you to see it. And if he performs, we'll be talking about it. But I mean, he's been out there and he's, there have been some plays where like, there was one practice where he made multiple catches, jumping acrobatic that I was like, wow, that's impressive. And there was another practice where I remember Kevin O'Connell was throwing passes to all the receivers and Jalen ran a route and it was kind of the wrong route. He missed the catch. It was a tip pass and O'Connell talked to him after. And I was like, yeah, it probably is not the most ideal situation. I mean, I think we all know that straight line speed, Jalen Rager has it. But I think we also all know that he was a first round pick who the Eagles, a really smart team and a really forward thinking team, were willing to trade for a seventh round pick. So I think he has a lot to prove. I think tonight could go a long way to doing that in game, working with guys like Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. I mean, to help them, those quarterbacks operate the offense effectively. They need wide receivers to be able to run the routes efficiently. So this will be an opportunity for him. And I think it's one that he's going to have to take advantage of.
You mentioned Jaren Hall, and I just want to get your thoughts on that because we were all down at the Senior Bowl. We watched him perform down there. Can't say that I came away impressed. I don't know how you felt about that, but how has he looked through the first couple weeks of training camp? And is it a different player than who we saw in Alabama back in January at this point?
It feels like a half decade and a half ago. Yeah. I would say that it hasn't been beautiful at all times for Jaren Hall. I mean, there were a couple practices early where he threaded the ball really nicely. Last night, I mentioned that N'Keal Harry pass that was interesting, but he also I believe, overthrew a ball to the sideline, and I think it even sailed into the people standing on the sideline. So it's been a little bit back and forth, which, again, like I said this earlier, I was doing a little preview thing with John Krasinski. He's actually up at The Athletic today, and we were talking about Jaron, and I was just like, what are my expectations? Like, if he runs the offense efficiently, the cadence is right, there's not that many flags, and he makes a couple plays with his legs, like, you chalk that up as a positive. This offense is not easy to learn. Kirk Cousins could tell you that with what happened last year. And I think the drops that Jaron Hall is being asked to do are much different than what he had to do in college. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know these receivers, so that's an entirely different thing. And then he's going to be working behind an offensive line that is going to be a bunch of makeshift backup types. So yeah, it's not the easiest situation, but I think they're committed to just helping him along day by day. And they're using the cliches that they should of, like, just try to get a little bit better and more comfortable every day. But I think for a guy like him, that's the goal. I mean, I will say he has managed, like, the poise of being that third string with veteran quarterbacks in the room, like, really well. I mean, I think he is, you talk to him, he is polished. He knows what to say. He knows what not to say. And so you can understand why they would draft a guy like him and add him to a room that expects a lot of other people in that room.
For sure.
Well, I'm hearing he is maybe flashing at least a little bit better than Nick Mullins is at this point. I don't know how accurate that is. You're seeing these guys more often than the reliable Twitter sources I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that would be fine to say. I mean, Nick Mullins, there have been a couple sail passes. There have been a couple times where protection seems wishy-washy, and it looks like if they were running things live, Nick Mullins would probably get crushed by Brian Flores' defense. But Nick Mullins is a guy who, A, Kirk Cousins really respects. I know that. And Kirk Cousins really likes having in the room to be able to bounce stuff off each other. Those guys did stuff together this offseason in certain capacities that you may or may not read at some point in The Athletic. So I wouldn't expect, like, Nick Mullins to be supplanted at all. Like, this is a guy who started games. He understands this scheme at a level that Jaron Hall just can't at this point. And so, yeah, I mean, I could probably react a little bit to certain practices or what have you. But I think tonight will probably provide some indication. I think just in general, there's too much confidence in what he means to that room in general to really make any rash probably observation or judgment.
Sure.
Like the Twitter sphere on fire, which would be fun kind of sometimes.
Before we switch to the defense and sort of get your thoughts on what you think tonight's game versus the Seahawks will look like, and I want to get your thoughts on the potential contract extensions. Can you give us anything there? Have you heard anything? Mark Wolf was up on the podium the other day and saying, like, yep, we want Justin Jefferson to be on this team, but we haven't seen any contracts yet.
Yeah. The first thing I'll say is I think Kwesi's been a little bit out of office in the sense that he has recently had an addition to his family. So I think that is
very cool.
Amazing.
That has been a layer that, like, people, fans, like, what are we waiting? It's like, he probably has to deal with a newborn might play.
Family's important. Family's important.
But no, I mean, I think the TJ Hockenson thing is probably where I would start. While, yes, Mark Wilf did. I mean, he raved about Justin Jefferson and said what he said from the get-go of, like, we want this guy to be here. And that is – everyone within the organization feels that way. So I expect that to get done on a level that suits both sides. When that happens, I can't tell you. But I think TJ Hockenson would probably be the one that I'm looking at in the shorter term of, like, I think they would like to iron that out. I think they believe strongly that he's going to be a weapon in the pass game. And he was last year. I wrote this the other day, but, like, from weeks 9 through 18, which is when he got to Minnesota, I think he had the 7th most targets among among all pass catchers in the NFL. And that is receivers and tight ends. So, like, Kirk, I think, really trusts him and trusts him from the beginning. And I think the Vikings see the tight end position as a way to be versatile and dictate on offense. So That
And what's
extension.
amazing about that is he trusted him with like no like
Crazy.
chemistry. Like it was just like just immediate. Like he didn't have an
Yeah.
off season. He didn't have pass catching down in Florida. He didn't have any of that. It was just, oh, you're here and I'm gonna target. What was the first game? Like 10 targets? It was something crazy.
It was 10 or more, and it's low key, but I think a lot of credit is it should go to David Blau, who was here, who ended up starting games at the end of the year for the Cardinals. David knew the entire Lions verbiage and offense, and he knew how to translate that in some way into the Vikings verbiage and offense. And I think that really helped TJ acclimate on a whim, and him being able to acclimate helped Kirk Cousins trust him. So back to the extension point, like I think they would like to get that done. In terms of timeline, again, I think there, it would be hard to really say. I think it could happen at any time, and so it's always that's always a moving target. But I think those two guys, in terms of Justin and TJ, I think those will, in my opinion, dictate a lot of like. Now you understand what your books look like this year, next year, and the year after. And now we can kind of see, like, if we have room to spend this year, then maybe you go add depth at certain spots. I mean, I know they worked out Ronald Darby. They had Dalton Risner in for the visit. I think I personally opinion has have talked about the backup running back spot as a potential add for depth. So yeah, I would expect the extension thing to kind of be on the front burner when probably in the short term, and we'll go from there. But I don't have any concrete. They've talked this number, and here we go. Those things are just so fluid that it would be kind of irresponsible to throw you some scuttlebutt, I should say.
That's fair. That's fair. But you probably have some articles a little pre-written, right, to get that story out.
Sometimes you pre-write. Sometimes I am dumb. I'll call myself dumb, and I like feeling it and then reacting. And again, my editor would be like, "Yeah, well, we like having it in the system so we can just go." So yeah, but yeah, it'd probably behoove me to come up with some stuff to think about. But I it's all up here.
I trust you.
Yeah.
Well, and you write great articles, right? Speaking of which, the Brian Asamoah article, if you haven't read it, you got to get out there and read that because it's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that and kind of what you're seeing from him, just because I'm a fan, an extra big fan of his, given the Oklahoma ties.
Brian is one of the easiest guys to talk. I mean, he has been from the day I stepped in. I mean, he's just got like his one of the guy who recruited him to Oklahoma, Tim Kish, said to me, he's like, this guy just loves life. And that's a great way. I thought it was a great way to describe, like, when you see Brian Asamoah at his when he's playing his best, or when he's like feeling his most comfortable, it's like a guy who's smiling, who's energy, who's DJ, who's music, who's talking about Burna Boy. Like that is Brian Asamoah when he is at his best. And to me, like, the more I thought about his arc and his fit within the scheme, the more I was like, this guy is kind of the representation of the shift that is happening. It is youth, it is downhill, it is aggressive, it is explosive. And like Brian, so I thought of it as like, you know what? Like Brian Asamoah is the one man embodiment of this shift that is happening with this defense. And so I sat down with Brian and talked to the college coach, like I said, and talked to Mike Saravo, who's the linebackers coach, who spent a lot of time and coached in college at Baylor in the Big 12 when Brian Asamoah was there. So has that kind of understanding of how Brian was coached in college. And so I overall, like it was a fun thing to do. I probably could have gone deeper. And I probably have a lot more that hopefully we'll save for when Brian Asamoah is flying across the field, ramming into people. But I expect him to be in that linebacker group. I think he talked about improving in terms of getting off blocks and dropping in coverage. And I think those will always be the moving targets for that position. For a guy like his size, but just the explosiveness is impossible to miss, and his measurables are off the charts. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to watch how they use him, how they use Ivan Pace, whether they use those guys together, what Jordan Hicks's role looks like. So that position is, I mean, as most of them are, it's to me, it's one I'm fascinated to see as joint practices calm and things progress.
Can you give me a couple highlights or things you've observed through training camp just from the defensive side? And then if you want to segue into the game versus Seattle, be interesting to see what you expect from there.
Yeah. I mean, the defensive side, like the highlights, I mean, it's just like how different it is. I mean, I just don't know how else to say that. Like, it is, I mean, it's like going from the winter here to the summer in Cabo, where I was for a wedding recently. Like, that is the shift. It is that humid versus, I mean, that hot and that cold. Like, Ed Donatell's system, it was just very stagnant. And I think you could say there are many reasons for that. And I'm sure if you sat down with Ed, he knows defense, he could be able to explain why certain things were as stagnant as they were. So I don't want to just X's and O's guru my way through this. But Brian Flores' defense is, we are coming at you. We are not sitting back. And we are going to swing at you in a way that you're like, in the boxing ring, and it's like, whoa, like, is this guy gonna swing too hard and get hit with an uppercut? Which I think that might happen at times this year, where the Vikings are swinging wildly and they get hit over the top for an explosive play. But I think I've thought about this a lot, but like, a lot of Vikings fans for a long time watched these Mike Zimmer defenses that were mugging the A gap, that were aggressive, that no, they might not have always been so successful. I'm thinking 2021, et cetera, but they were coming at you and they were not holding back. And so I think that is the highlight of the shift. I mean, I've seen Harrison Smith fly around from the front, on the defensive front to the safety position. I mean, I think you're going to see him do what Harrison Smith does at his best. I think you're going to see cornerback blitzes. You're going to see guys out of the slot blitz. You're going to see those guys blitz and other guys cover their spots. And I think the one thing about this defense that's hard to grasp for even the media and fans is Brian Flores gives these guys so many different tools. And I think on game day, those guys are able to understand what they see and then apply different tools on their own. Like, not like they're being called from the sidelines. Like, this is what you face, and do this if you feel like this is the right thing to do in this situation to get this against this offense. And
That's cool.
I think Brian Flores trusts his players that much. So the more I talk about it, the more, like, I have to tamper myself. It's just so different. And I think it is so aggressive that it's exciting. But I also think there are reasons to be like, well, are the cornerbacks going to be sustainable enough to run this type of defense? Is the pass rush and the interior going to be able to stop the run effect? Like, I think there are reasons to have a lot of questions. There are reasons to wonder if it's going to be sustainable. But I think just in general, schematically, systematically, it's so different and it's so aggressive after such a past
Let's go.
season that it's hard not to just talk about it the way I am, where I'm probably screaming into the microphone.
No, man, it's I think that's a good thing for fans to hear. I think they were sick of getting, just nickel and dimed last year on defense. And so, the opposite of that, which clearly is what it appears to be, will be welcomed. I saw you just drink some Starbucks. What's your go-to drink?
I'm drinking water now. I'm hydrating a bit. I've been talking, I think, for like 6 hours today. But I'm a grande vanilla sweet cream cold brew guy.
Okay.
I spend way too much money on it, but
As long as you have the rewards program, it's fine.
No, I do my best. I think I'm a gold platinum membership or whatever. But no, yeah, it's a good segue, actually. Coffee, Seattle, Seahawks.
Sure.
It's a good segue.
Sure. Well, let's do it. What are you looking forward to, or what are you looking for
Yeah,
in the Thursday night game?
I'm looking for a lot. I mean, I'm looking at offensive concepts and defensive like I personnel groupings. That's the nerd in me will be looking for that. But like, on a very base level, I'm really excited to see Dwayne McBride. Like, I hope we see him a lot, and I really just like want to see what he looks like in live action, because he's had somewhat of a quieter camp. There have been some fumbles. He has caught some passes, but without it being live, you can't really see how his college tape translates. And so I think, like, I'm just really looking forward to seeing, like, is he just going to be ping-ponging off guys all over the place? Because I will be laughing and enjoying it if that's the case.
So that was his calling card in college, right? It was just like breaking tackles like nobody's business.
Yeah, and I wrote this today, but like the tape in college was just like you just can't stop laughing. It's like watching like an adult play on a mini hoop in a driveway against their like son, and they're just like swatting it away. Like that was Dwayne McBride against CUSA defenders. And so I think to see him in live action is something I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, obviously I'll be evaluating Lewis Cine and the cornerbacks, the Jawan Williams, Andrew Booth. I want to see, I want to see if Ivan Pace plays or if they might use them so much that maybe they're going to wait. So I want to see Jaren Hall. I want to see how smoothly he runs the offense, and I want to see how quickly he's getting through reads. If he's getting through reads too quickly, is he bailing out of the pocket too quickly? Like I think from a player perspective, that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. Ty Chandler in that backup running back spot, I think I want to see how he looks. So I will be locked in at 9 o'clock, probably with more coffee. And I will be probably watching all 22 tape the day after, which is probably sad to say for a preseason game, but they pay me to work, so I probably should.
You have a job that many folks would love to do, so yeah. I saw that picture you took the other day leaving the practice field at night, and it was just, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, I say this all the time, but and there are parts of this job where you start to get I don't know, but it's like, buddy, you're watching football for a living and writing about it. You can be creative, you can do this, like we should probably enjoy, like I mentioned Lindsay Young earlier, but she did this story this week on what is it called, the Immaculate Game, and
yes,
if anybody hasn't read that, I would say please go to vikings.com, and no, I'm not getting paid to say this because that's the team side and I don't write for them, but it was just like that type of story where it's so fun and like you're talking like relatable, like human being, like that's the stuff you do this for. And, and so, yeah, I don't take it for granted. And I mean, I told
and
you,
and she does great work too. I love Alec Lewis's work. Lindsay, you know, Lindsay Young, she does a great job. So.
Yeah. Lindsay. And like what I would say is on the outside for fans, like it's hard to understand. Like when you do this job, so much of it is about creating a level of trust among the players and the people you cover.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay has been here for a long time, but like the level of trust she has from the people inside that building is something that I don't think the outside people who don't do the job could understand, but it is like so admirable, and she's worked so hard to get to that level that I feel like it's important to say. But yeah, like you don't take for granted the opportunities to get to do this, to get to write about it. And I usually, like for me covering baseball, spring training was always that reminder for me. But I think after the summer, just getting back into the swing and being around as many people as we get to be around every day. And I was like, you know what, this is pretty cool. You get those reminders at random times. And that was one of them.
That's awesome. Any other questions for him, Ryan? Otherwise, I think we took him way past his
I think agreement. I'm good. I looked at all my preset questions. I think I got them all answered. The only one that was important was Asamoah's. So,
of course.
I'm glad we got there. Yes. Glad we got there.
I'll ask you guys this, and I've got some more time. Not a ton. Okay. I've got 5 minutes. What are you guys most looking forward to seeing tonight?
Oh, man. I think for me, you kind of nailed it with Jaren Hall. I think that's the first one I want to kind of watch, just because it is a developmental quarterback, and I'll just leave it at that. I just want to see if he's progressed from what we've kind of seen in college, from what we saw at the Senior Bowl. More interestingly, I want to see the defensive line. I'm concerned about them in some ways, the depth behind the starters is quite concerning. Is anybody going to step up? Is Ezzy Otomowe going to kind of show out? Is Jaquelin Roy going to do something? We talked a little bit about Patrick Jones and DJ Wonnum last night on our show, but Just kind of want to get an observation on that defensive line and what that's going to look like this year. And then I think the big one that you covered, at least for me, is Brian Flores' defense. It's the buzz of the town, right? I mean, it's that whole side of the ball is rejuvenated, and you can see it in the players and in their excitement. And so
I'll say this, last night, excuse me, at the Tuesday night, night practice, Brian Flores walked down. He's wearing sunglasses. It's like 7:45. I'm like, I mean, this guy's just too cool. He has got to wear sunglasses. All kidding aside, there was a fan, Flores, I love you. I was like, oh my God. And he looked over. I'm like, this is a defensive coordinator. But I get it. I get it. But it was a fun little.
People weren't doing that with that down hotel, I can tell you that much.
Not towards the end of the year. No, they were not.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan?
I want to kind of see how some of these higher draft picks from last year can perform, right? Like,
yeah.
Again, Lewis Cine, really, you know, first round pick, you know, comes with so much athleticism. I just kind of want to see what he can do now that he's recovered from this leg injury. Andrew Booth, he seems to be healthy-ish, about as healthy as he probably will ever get. So I want to see if he can, you know, come in there and contribute. You mentioned the N'Keal Harry catch. He was on him on that play. And it was great coverage, honestly, at least from the angle that I saw. And, I mean, N'Keal made a great play. Jaren Hall made a great throw. I mean, it was all around a really good play for all three of those guys. So I want to see how they can perform. And can Andrew Booth kind of cement himself as, like, the guy off the bench, right? Because at this point, that's what he would be. And Lewis Cine, can he impress enough to really battle Andrew Bynum or Andrew Bynum, Cam Bynum for the, I'm thinking basketball now.
No, Andrew Bynum is a hell of a player.
Yeah. Right. Cam Bynum for that starting safety at some point, maybe not early in season, but maybe mid season, because it seems like Lewis Cine would be a better fit for this defense schematically, at least the way he plays. And then, the friend of the show, Metellus. I want to kind of see.
Metellus, yes.
Yeah, I kind of want to see what he's gonna. You know, he's got this kind of stranglehold on this star type position, whatever you want to call it, and it's kind of this new position to our defense, considering from last year. And I want to see how he can perform. I doubt maybe he's in it tonight, right? But you know, throughout the preseason, I kind of am interested to see how he does there. So, really, the secondary as a whole. The defense as a whole, that's really where my focal point is tonight.
The one day, all that's fascinating. And I think the defensive interior that you mentioned, Matt, is I think the Asezi Atomowo, I think Jaquelin and Roy, like those names are going to be interesting to watch. I also, like, I think we'll see a lot of Andre Carter, the undrafted guy from Army.
Yeah, awesome.
I think I just want to see, I mean, against this level, like how explosive is he? I mean, he looks like a heck of an athlete, but the size is obviously the concern. I think it'll probably take more time to attack more on. But I'm looking forward to seeing how he looks also. And I think just listening to you guys, I'm in agreement. There are a lot of I think the Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth, I think a lot of eyes are going to be there.
It's going to be exciting.
I think it'll be fun. I guess I'll close with this. I had a funny. I was thinking Drew Locke's probably going to be playing tonight for the Seahawks. I went to Mizzou, and Drew and I were the same year, and we came in, and we were freshmen. And I went back yesterday, and I found September 1st, 2015, I wrote a story, Drew Locke, hype machine at an all-time high. He was a freshman, and it's so crazy. 8 years later, he's the Seahawks, and somehow I'm here writing. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see. And Drew will probably have his hands full against Brian Flores. So, should be.
That's exciting.
Should be a good time. But, no, always enjoy you guys. Thanks for having me.
And, yeah, man.
Good luck with staying up till the crack of dawn to watch this game.
I know we didn't get out golfing this year. Ryan's been super busy. But there's still actually, believe it or not, there's plenty of time still before snow comes. And then we'll get you out.
How is that golf game coming, Alec?
I
think you haven't been out much.
I played a lot earlier in the summer, and then it was like I could probably take some more time off, or I could start calling random people for these stories I want to do. And I'm too crazy to where I somehow lean the ladder when I probably should have just had beers and played golf. I played at home once. I went home for a little bit, played at home, started to figure some things out with the driver. But if I have a day or two or 10, I would like to get out there before it gets cold.
Let us know.
You know where to reach us. We'll bring you some Lake Monster beer as well. So
no doubt.
It's good. All right. Well, thank you again, Alec, and everybody here watching. Thank you. Be sure to like and subscribe and root on those Minnesota Vikings tonight versus Seattle Seahawks. Until next time, let's go Vikings.